can't see us. Amen. What a blessing. Turn me up a little bit, Brother Jay. Brother BJ, if I got my story straight, is going down to Florida to play in the World Series softball tournament. Is that right? And the coach has agreed to let him share the gospel with all the players. Ain't that a blessing? Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. BJ, we're going to be praying for you, buddy. Pray the Lord would use you to win some of that crowd you used to party with. Amen. Maybe they'll see the change in you that your coach sees and your wife sees and your church sees. Amen. What a blessing. Isn't it amazing what God can do with somebody? And it's usually that and it's your least expected. Amen. I'm going to read part of my favorite chapter in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter number 2. I preached from it many times all day yesterday. I cut up with Stacy and Brother Rusty, tell them I had to get home and get ready to preach. But over and over yesterday, throughout the day, just Ephesians chapter number 2 kept coming to my mind. And especially at the race. At the race, you see an unsavory crowd, I guess is a way to put it nicely. There was a lady sitting in front of us, Brother Jason. I didn't realize what was going on with her. I just thought she had some weird tics, you know what I mean? But Brother Rusty said, no, she's tweaking. I said, oh, okay, she's tweaking. I thought that's something you did on your phone. No, that's tweeting. She wasn't tweeting. She was tweaking. She was on drugs of some kind. And I sat around and got to looking, and that's a redneck factory, if you didn't know it. I mean, that's where they make rednecks, is that NASCAR race, amen? But anyway, I'm sitting there looking at all those people, and my mind went back. And the Lord said, wasn't that long ago? That was you. And I'm afraid sometimes as Christians, we forget exactly where God has brought us from, and where God has brought us to, and where God is going to take us on. And I just want to remind you this morning, if nothing else, if you are saved, as we read these verses, you ought to just waller in it. Yeah. Waller, that's a southern word. That means to lay on your back and roll till you get it on you. Yeah. Amen? We used to show pigs in the FFA, and we'd take trimmers, and we'd trim the hair off their ears, and we would wash them and shine them up. We'd take them to the sale barn and walk them with a cane. Yeah, I'm country. We showed pigs. That's what we did. We'd carry them pigs through that sale barn, and they'd judge them. We'd carry them pigs back home, put them in the pen, and the very first thing they'd do, they'd get in that slop, and they'd get in that mud and all that, what pigs do in the pig pen, and just roll in it till they got it all over them. We ought to roll in Ephesians chapter number 2 this morning till we just get it all over us. Amen? Look at it with me. We're going to read some verses this morning. Verse number 1, the Bible said, and you, that's personal, isn't it? And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, I'm glad this little but is right here. That means what's about to be said is going to be totally opposite from what has just been said. So far, we've got you're dead in trespasses and sin. You're separated from the love of God. You're living under the wrath of God. You're condemned to the curse of God. But, in verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Somebody ought to holler right there. Even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I guess that's correctly reading about 10 verses of Ephesians chapter number 2, and I can't help but wonder why somebody ain't got some happy on already this morning. How many of you saved by grace going to heaven when you die? I just read your life story. I just read your autobiography or biography. I just read the story of who you are. You say, well, you don't know me. Well, I know some things about the Bible and I know what it says about you. Amen. Not many preachers want to talk about it anymore, but the Bible is very blunt. I'll tell you why I love Ephesians chapter number 2, Brother Freddie. It tells me who I was. It reminds me of who I was in verses number 1 through 3. It tells me I was a sinner. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. And I walked according to the course of this world. It tells me who I used to be. Hey, we got folks here this morning that could stand up and testify, and I pray every week that they don't get a hankering to do so. But Brother Stacy Bullitt and Johnny Cash and John English and Lord, we can go on and on, Terry Fennell, Mike Fennell, and people that I grew up with and ran around with, they could get up and tell you stories about me. And I could tell you stories about them. It goes both ways. Brother Stacy said you normally do. They knew me. It's, you know what's amazing to me? And it ain't got nothing to do with the message. It's amazing that they know me. And they still come here and hear me preach. I appreciate you guys from the depths of my heart. I appreciate everybody for being here. But those of you who really know me and you still come, I count it a great, great honor in this life to be able to be your preacher. Amen? But they know who I was. But you know what? As they reminisce, and as Stacy was enjoying telling Rusty stories about his preacher, the Lord's going, what are y'all talking about? Stacy says, remember when? And God says, no. Johnny said, you remember when we did such and such? And the Lord says, I don't know what y'all talking about. Terry says, you remember when we was driving down the road and you flung me out of the car and drove off and left me sitting in the middle of the highway? Terry says, you remember that? God says, no, I don't. I don't know what y'all are talking about. Y'all must be having delusions of grandeur. I haven't a clue. Thank God it tells me who I was, but it also tells me God has forgotten who I was. Thank God somebody ought to just shout happy right there. Hey, you in a room full of sinners saved by grace this morning. Hey, we wasn't all born in Sunday school. Amen. I wasn't born with a King James Bible in my hand. I was born a sinner. And so were you. And some of the most famous preachers in America won't even use the word anymore. But it tells me who I was. Thank God I ain't what I ought to be, and neither are you. But I ain't what I was. Thank God I'm a long way from what I was. I had a perverted mind. I had a wicked heart. Y'all listen to me. I walked in a body of flesh, and every day I lived to please my flesh. But one day I met Jesus at Bloody Calvary, and He changed my heart and my life forever. It tells me who I was in Ephesians chapter number 2. But then He goes on and tells me who I am. But now. But now. This is what you were, son. verses 1 through 3. Verses 4 through about 8 to 9, he's telling me who I am. I am no longer just a sinner on my way to hell. Now I'm a sinner saved by grace, with heaven as my home, with glory as my future. It tells me who I was. It tells me who I am. Thank God some of y'all ain't what you used to be. I couldn't believe Regina stood up and testified about her husband. That's a blessing, brother. Wives sit around in little... I know what women do when they get together. Women ain't like men. Women get together, they talk about their husband. How they compare. It's like a contest. Who's got the most sorriest husband? It's like a crucifixion of sorts. Amen? They meet and just... But, brother, this morning, that reminded me of Proverbs chapter number 31. That woman made her husband look good. She made you look good this morning. Amen. You ought to thank God for it. Amen. You ought to thank God that you got a wife that'll stand up in a crowd of people and brag on you, because she knows you better than any of us. She knows how sorry you really are. Amen. Amen. But that's a blessing. Hey, he tells me who I was, but then he tells me who I am. Thank God I ain't who I used to be. I ain't what I ought to be, but I ain't what I used to be. That's simple stuff this morning, but you need to waller in it just a little bit. Some of you need to go back in your mind. Those of you who came here on the verge of divorce. Some of you came here already living in separate homes, and God's reconciled your marriage, put your hearts back together. Amen. And your children know about Christ, and they're going to heaven when they die. But you sit here like a knot on a log with your arms crossed. How soon have we forgotten what God has done for us? Amen. And we ought to be happy about it. Amen. He tells me who I was. He tells me who I am. But he tells me who I'm going to be. Amen. He tells me, man, do you know what's waiting ahead for us? Do you understand that? We're going to heaven when we die. It's not just something we preach about. It's not just something we sing about. It's just not something we talk about in Sunday school. It's a reality. Those of us who are saved by grace have heaven as our future. No sickness, no heartache. We go through the whole list if you want to. No teardrops. No aging. Hallelujah. You'll have hair in heaven. Amen. No aging. No sinus infections. That's my curse. Amen. I'm telling you, heaven's going to be wonderful. No more funerals. That's our future. That's our future. And I'm afraid we don't think enough about it. We're too busy living for the day. We're too busy living for tomorrow. You're more interested in what's going to happen at work tomorrow than you are what's going on in heaven right now. Seven people got saved this morning. Heaven is having a party. Hey, watch this. Watch this. Seven got saved. Seven convicts. And what? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Guess who he used to preach to them and bring them the gospel? A convict. Is that okay, Brother Robbie? I don't want to embarrass you. A convict. God take one old sinner and let him tell another old sinner where to find some bread. Amen. He tells me who I was, who I am, and who I'm going to be. Amen? I want you to look at these verses right quick, and I'll get you out of here. I know exactly what time it is. It's about 3 minutes to 11, about four exits east of us, west of us. Amen? I want you to notice in verse number 1, and you hath he quickened, who were, say the word with me,
dead
in what?
Trespass.
What's trespass? It's a break in the law, is that right? When you trespass, you are transgressing God's law. Now, this is going to be so elementary to some of you, but people get so offended when you tell them they're a sinner. This Oprah Winfrey crowd cannot handle the truth. This Joel Osteen nation that we live in, they can't handle the truth. They do not want to hear that they're a sinner. I didn't say it. God did. And you... hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and, what's the last word?
Sins.
Sins. Now, what makes us sinners? It's simply transgressing God's law. Somebody said, well, I hadn't transgressed God's law. Have you ever told a lie? Y'all familiar with that little chapter in Exodus? He gives 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. You say, that's Old Testament. Well, they're just amplified in the New Testament. They get stronger in the New Testament than they were in the Old Testament. He said, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's lying.
Yes, sir.
I've lied lately. You say, no, I'm not a liar. Well, how about this? If that's for me, I'm not here. Somebody help me this morning. If I could get some help, I'd preach to you this morning. I'm not a sinner. Have you lied? He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And there's men sitting in this room. You say, oh, I hadn't committed adultery. Well, Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust, you've committed it in your heart already. Y'all all right? What are you saying? I'm saying we're all sinners. I want you to notice in these verses the perversion of sin. Sin is not preached on anymore. Everything now is a sickness or a lifestyle.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's your lifestyle. No, that's sin.
Yes, sir.
Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
This is just going to get down the road plain and Jane as we can get this morning, but sin is still sin. Our problem is sin is no longer exceeding sinful.
Amen.
We allow stuff on our television that was pornography when I was a kid. My grandmother drugged me out of the living room with her hands over my eyes over a feminine product commercial when I was a little kid. Grabbed me up out of the floor and drugged me in the kitchen. Had her hands over my ears so, oh, baby, don't listen. My Lord, if she saw a Victoria's Secret commercial, she'd have a heart attack and kill over graveyard dead. But she's in heaven already, thank God. Amen. I'm telling you, things don't bother us anymore. The world's made a mockery at sin. They put all this stuff out there, and they've made it funny. They've made it funny. Funniest guys on TV are them that act like, y'all with me? If he can get you laughing at it long enough, he can get you to accept it. You got to realize the perversion of sin. That's who we were. Hey, God wasn't mad at us. God wasn't mad at us. God didn't just want to dump us all into hell. But God's a holy God and he's a just God and he can't look at sin. So there was a separation when Adam sinned in the garden between us and God. And there was only one way that thing could be reconciled. And that was through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Allah, not Muhammad, not Buddha. Hey, I'm here to tell you it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I still believe the book, friend. I still believe that old King James Bible nails her down pretty good. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Right.
When the most famous preacher in America was asked to explain that verse, here was his answer. Well, Larry, I just don't know.
Amen.
What a wimp.
Amen.
I do, I know, ask me.
Yes.
Ask me, I'll tell you what it means. It means Jesus is the way, and he's the only way. He's not a way. He's not a son. He's the son. He is the only way man can be reconciled unto God because of the perversion of sin. I don't care how high up on the religion totem pole you have climbed, you're a sinner, friend. And I say that with all the love of God in my heart because I'm one too. You're not in a crowd where everybody else is looking down their nose at somebody else. No, we're down there with you. Some of us are looking up at you.
Amen.
You okay?
Yeah.
You just don't know who you're sitting in church with this morning.
Yes,
somebody told Brother Stacy yesterday or Saturday, Friday, he's doing a fundraiser. He told him, he said, if I walk in that church, a roof would cave in. No chance of that, friend. It'd have to be a tornado or gale force wind, something like that. It won't be because of your sin. I promise you, I can drag somebody out of the pew with their Sunday go to meet and smile on their face and compare your past with theirs. You'll feel good about yourself when you leave here. So, oh Lord, what kind of people am I in church with? Same kind of people that are in every church, in every state, in every city in this country this morning. Some just don't want to be honest enough to admit about who they were. Sinners saved by grace. That's all. The perversion of sin. Can you see the scars sin has left on your life?
Yes, sir.
That's why I love sin. Somebody said, why y'all go get all these kids? Hey, I'd rather see God get a whole life than half of one.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We were putting a roof on our... I got to quit in a minute. I know. I ain't even got to my message. We were putting a roof on our old building. And as a guy came from a church, local church, and he was the... what do you call the person who gets the people's letters? The church clerk. And they asked Brother Charles or somebody, he said, where's the preacher? He said, he's up there on the roof. Well, the old fellow climbed up the ladder, Brother Freddie, and got on the roof with me. He said, I just came, thought I'd personally deliver this. It was a request for somebody's letter. I thought, but there's a clerk who's serious about his job. climb up on the roof to find a preacher to get somebody's church letter. I said, well, bless your heart. I'm glad you ain't got nothing better to do. He said, how was your service last week? I said, man, four or five saved. Here's what he said. He did just like this. He crossed his arm. He said, how many of them were bus kids? I felt led of God to see if that poor gentleman could fly. And I wasn't too smart-alecky with him, but I just responded like this. I said, how many got saved at your church last week? Well, I don't think we had anybody saved. Week before that? Week before that? You want to criticize some little old boy or girl coming to church hearing about the love of God and the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin and trusting Christ as our Savior? Hey, you better back that story out of here, Jack. Hey, we believe God still saves sinners. And I love it when he gets them little. Amen. The perversion of sin. Look at verse number 4. I got to hurry. Verse number 4. We got that little conjunction there. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. I love that word quickened. Y'all understand what that means? I love that word quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. Listen, we noticed the perversion of sin, but I want you to notice the provision of life. The provision of life. I'm going to explain that word quickened to you best in just cotton patch language, best I know how. If my battery's dead in my truck, dead, graveyard dead, won't even cut the dome light on. Y'all know what I'm talking about, dead. I got a set of jumper cable. And what I do is I pull a vehicle up beside my dead vehicle. I get a vehicle that's got life. I get a vehicle that will crank. In other words, I got one with a battery in it that has some power. And I take my jumper cables and I hook them to my dead battery. And I hook them over there to something that's got some life in it. And I let that life bleed through them jumper cables to the dead battery, thus cranking my dead truck. Hey, I'm here to tell you, that's what Jesus did when he saved my unworthy soul. He pulled up beside my old dead life. He grabbed the jumper cables of heaven, hooked them up to my soul, and put life in where there was no life. I didn't crank myself. He gave life where there was no life. Man, I didn't know what joy was till I got saved. I didn't know what peace was. I'd heard about it all my life. I'd heard the song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." I thought, man, what are y'all talking about? But buddy, when the Lord quickened my dead spirit. It was a resurrection was what it was. He got somebody who had no life and gave them life. Do you know that's how God started the human race? Yes, sir. Now, you may have crawled out of a mud hole as a tadpole. You may have. I believe some of them people that teach that, they may have. Yes, you may have crawled out of a mud hole somewhere, right. Crawled up in a tree and grew hair and a tail, and ate bananas till lightning struck and burned all your hair off, fell out of a tree and broke your tail off. And you became a professor with a PhD. But I didn't come from no monkey. Y'all listen to me. I didn't come from no monkey. I was born in sin. Amen. Everyone. I'm talking to somebody here this morning that needs what I'm saying. Hey, somebody here this morning, if you don't get it right today, it may be your last chance. You walked into church just like so many of us have in times past, dead in your trespasses and sin. If you die like you are, you're going to bust hell wide open. But we're giving you, I'm not just telling you about the perversion of your sin, I'm telling you about the provision for life. You don't have to die and go to hell, man. That's the good thing. The Lord said he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I wonder what them Calvinists do with it. Is there a Calvinist listening on the radio? What do you do with that verse? What do y'all do with that verse? You just take a white out and take it out of your Bible. For he's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. It's not God's will for you to die and go to hell. He didn't make hell for you. He made it for the devil and his angels. He wants you in heaven. Amen. By the way, I do too. There was the perversion of sin, but then there was the provision of life, the provision of life. I don't have to live dead in my trespasses and sin. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. People look at Christianity like this, like it's a thumb that's holding you down. No, man, let me tell you something. We have a good time. We have a good time. I went off of these guys last night. They kept me out half a night. We laughed and we had the best time just being friends. Met up with some more friends down there, and we just had a good time. Amen. Brother Rusty got to telling us all the way down there. Brother Stacy said he never shut up, Brother Eddie. He talked from the time he got in the truck to the time we got to that race. You know what he's talking about? What God's been doing in his life. All the way down there, he's talking about how God's been working in his heart all week long. Called me on Thursday. I was at the mall buying something for my wife. Brother Rusty said, can I talk to you a minute? I thought Stacy had died. Couldn't. And he just had to tell me how good God was and what God was doing. Amen. I'm telling you, man, there is life in living for God. It's not a dull thing that we live. It's a wonderful thing. The devil would have you believe, well, if you get saved, you're going to have to quit this and do that. Hey, it ain't what you quit. It's what you get. I felt something right there. It's not so much what you have to quit. It's what you get. Amen. You get a wife that'll stand up in church and brag on you. Take notes, baby. If my wife stood up and said anything, I'd fall over graveyard dead. Please don't. But seriously, it's not what you lose, it's what you gain. I gained eternal life. I gained eternal life. Hey, before I say, I've got a few friends that I ran around with, and they're in the building this morning. What a blessing. I could count my close friends on two hands. This morning I got friends all over this country. Mexico, Canada, the Philippines, Asia, Germany. I'm here to tell you, I got some friends. You know where I got them friends? Jesus gave them to me. And I come to know every one of them because of my life that I now live in Him. The perversion of sin, the provision of life. Now listen, look at verse number 6. I had a hard time with this for a long time. He said, He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We notice the perversion of sin in verses 1 through 3, the provision of life in verse 4 and 5, but in verse 6 and 7 we see our position in glory. Our position in glory. Somebody said, are you going to heaven when you die? Now, I don't want to blow you plumb out of the boat this morning, but in a sense, I'm already there.
Amen. That's right.
Old Brother David Naylor used to sing that song. You remember, I'm already there. I believe that was the name of it. Hey, in a sense, I'm as good as there.
Yes, yes.
We are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm as good as in heaven right now as I would be if I was walking on streets of gold right now. Somebody said, what if you lose your salvation? I didn't get that kind. I didn't get that kind. I paid extra and got the lifetime guarantee. Amen. And just so happened on that day they was giving it away. It was included with the deal. Amen. I came to the Lord and He said, well, do you want the kind that don't last, or you want the kind that lasts forever? Give me forever.
Yes, sir.
God have mercy on y'all. Don't want the real deal. Amen.
Yeah, right.
By the way, there's some that thinks they ain't got it, but they do.
Yeah.
Somebody's just told them if you sin, you'll lose it. Then you lost yours before you got here this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Why you was fussing at your wife to get out the door?
Come on. Yeah.
I wish I had some help. Oh yeah, I know how it is going to church. I know how it is raising little kids and trying to go to church.
Yeah.
Oh God, have mercy. Brother Freddie gave me or he didn't, his kids did, gave me a CD. I meant to bring it back and I forgot. Gave me a CD. It's a Christian comedian, and this guy said teenagers was God's God's payback. Teenagers was God's payback to us. He said, let's see how you'd like it to create somebody in your own image who won't even acknowledge you exist. I know what it's like. I know what it's like trying to get everybody in the house ready and out the door and on time. Amen? You got to repent before you can even enjoy the service. Yeah, if you can lose your salvation, you lost yours on the way to church.
Amen.
It's on the side of 61 down there somewhere. Amen. You pick it up on your way home. Amen. Our position in glory. I'm glad I'm not on Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Y'all listening? I like to ride horses.
Yeah.
Every now and then I fall off. Because I'm not in the horse, I'm on the horse.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
I'm not on Jesus, I'm in Jesus.
Yeah.
He's made us sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Right.
I can't fall off because I'm in.
Yeah. Right.
Woo! Goes right there. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
My position. Thank God for my position. Now, I'm not perfect in my position.
Yeah.
I'm still walking around in a body of flesh. I still mess up.
Yeah.
Bible said a just man falls seven times, rises up again.
That's right.
1 John said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We still mess up.
Yeah.
Therefore, we still need to get right.
That's right.
Not re-saved.
Amen.
Just fess up. Amen?
Yes.
So I'm not perfect, but I am in a good position.
Yes.
Listen, if a trumpet blows, and if you know anything about the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the rapture of the church. When God calls his church out of here, I'm gone.
Amen.
They ain't no hope so, maybe so, think so. I know so.
Yes.
And I hope you do this morning.
Amen.
Look at verse 8 and 9. I'll quit. Verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
I have the past, the perversion of sin. I have the present, the provision of life. I have the future, my position in glory. And then I have my placement in the body of Christ by faith. By faith. Somebody said, what do I have to do to be saved? Trust Him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Boy, that's deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a seven-step program.
Right.
It's not a meeting that you attend.
Yeah.
It's a condition of your heart. That New Year's Eve when Sister Angie and I got saved. I've been in church all my life, Brother Jason. And for the first time in my heart, I knew He was real. For the first time. Oh, I believed in Him. I did. I could quote Scripture to you. I've been in church all my life. I knew all about Jesus. I knew the Easter story, fronters and backwards. I knew the Christmas story. I could tell you all about it. But that's all I did. I just knew about it. I didn't know Him. But that night, He got real.
Amen.
And I realized for the first time in my life, man, I'm going to hell. If I die like I am, I got to have Him. I don't need the church. I don't need the water. I need Him.
Yeah.
And I got myself to the preacher's house, and we knelt down the front yard, and I met Jesus Christ for the first time in my life.
Amen.
You know what that was? It was faith.
Yeah.
I'd heard about it all my life, but for the first time, I really believed it.
Yeah.
I really believed it. That's what faith is. It's believing in something you can't see. But you know it's there just as well as if it's in front of your face. I fly on airplanes about every other week. About every other week I get on a Delta jet headed somewhere to preach. I sit down in my seat 9 times out of 10. I never see the man sitting in the cockpit. But I put faith in him. He might have a monkey up there. I don't know. But I put faith in somebody I cannot see. To get me to where I want to go. That's a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're putting faith in somebody we cannot see to get us to where we need to go. But one day we will see. You know what I like? You know what I like, Brother Charles? Oftentimes when we reach our destination and we're getting off the plane, a lot of times that captain will open that cockpit door. He'll say, thank you for flying with us today. I get to see that fella who's brought me all this way. Amen. That's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. Amen. My faith will turn into sight when we get to where we're going. He's going to step out of the cockpit and say, thanks for flying Jesus today. Amen. Have you placed your faith in God? Some of you got more faith in a light switch than you do Jesus Christ. You believe with all your heart. You flip it, it's coming on. You don't know how it works. They might be one or two in here can explain it, but most of you can't. Every woman in here believes with all her heart that all you got to do is stick a key in the ignition, cut it on, and go anywhere you want to go. You don't ever have to change oil. You don't ever have to, you know. It's just going to do that forever. Y'all listening? That's faith. That's faith. I want to ask you to do something today. If you haven't already, would you take your faith? You say, "Preacher, I don't have any." The Bible said God gave every man a measure of faith. See, you do have faith. You just haven't practiced it, or you haven't put it to use. I'm going to ask you, if you haven't already, would you put your faith in Him? Would you realize that if you die today without Christ, that hell's your future? There is a real place called hell. I was watching, I love the History Channel. I know that's, I'm getting old, but I do. I love the History Channel. And they had a thing on there the other day about volcanoes. And the scientist actually said, the earth's core must be really hot. I thought, dude, you ever read the Bible? You ever read the Bible? It'll tell you what's down there. You know what lava is? It's a lake of fire. Yeah. Don't die without Jesus. I'm not trying to get somebody to join our church today. I'm not trying to get members on a church roll. That ain't what we're about. We're about people. We're about God changing lives and doing a work in somebody's heart. If you're saved this morning, are you glad for Ephesians chapter number 2? Tells you who you was. And thank God you ain't no more. Tells you who you are. You need to remind yourself every now and then, hey, I'm a child of God. I don't even belong to myself. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I belong to Jesus Christ, property of heaven. Amen? And it tells you who you're going to be. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Todd, y'all come. Sister Elizabeth, could you sing Who Am I? I know you're not feeling real. If you could do that, that would be a blessing. While they're coming to get ready to sing this morning, I wonder if we could just bow our heads. We'll have you out of here in just a minute. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Now, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I could have probably preached something more profound, something with a little deeper spiritual meaning. That's what God put on my heart this morning. There was no running from it. There was no getting away from it. It was as plain as the nose on my face. Ephesians chapter 2. I wonder who that was for. It was good for me just to remember what God's done in my life and what God's done for me. But I wonder if you're here this morning, you're not saved. If you can't promise me without one shadow of a doubt that if you died today, heaven would be your home. If you're not 100% sure of that, I'd like to pray for you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the world. I don't drag people to the altar. That's not how we do things. I just want to pray for you. You said, Brother Eddie, I'll lift my hand and ask you to pray for me. I need to get that settled in my heart. Would you just slip up your hand? Say, Preacher, remember me. God bless you. Remember me when you pray. Thank you, ma'am. I don't want to die and go to hell. If I could really get that thing settled and know in my heart, man, I want to see my children in heaven. I want to see my family in heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't think anybody does. If there's anybody else, just slip up your hand. We just going to pray. Brother Eddie, I'm saved. I know I am. If I died right now, I know I'd next thing I see, it'd be Jesus. But boy, I needed to be reminded this morning. I've forgotten just who I was. I've forgotten just how much God's done for me. Brother, I pray I'd be a little more thankful, a little more grateful. How about that? Boy, mine's up with you. Thank you so much this morning. Let's pray together. Fathers, we come before you this morning. Lord, we sure do thank you. Lord, thank you for that chapter. God, what it means to me. It's hard for me to even read it without crying. Because, Lord, it reminds me of who I was. Reminds me of who I am. And, Lord, it drives me to my knees just to say thank you, Lord. Because you sure didn't have to save me, but I'm sure glad you did. God, you've seen every hand in this room this morning. You know every heart. Lord, please have your way. Don't let anybody leave without you this morning.
Lord, be as real to them this morning as you was to me that night. Let them see the need of their soul this morning. Help them, Lord. Lord, and help us all to be grateful, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts and our lives and our homes and our marriages. Lord, thank you 10,000 times. Thank you, Lord. Please have your way this morning. We'll give you glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.